welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mike.
You did a really nice job last week talking with us about medication for back pain. This week, we're going to talk about chronic back pain, a very frustrating thing for both the patient and the provider. There is no good treatment. Medicines, and medicines, as we know, have side effects, and some can create dependency. Surgery is risky, and studies suggest that it has a low likelihood of providing benefit for uncomplicated chronic back pain. There is also chiropractic care and acupuncture, but they are limited by both time and expense. We know that chronic pain of any sort, but particularly back pain, has lots of etiologies. Perhaps genetics might play a part, or a specific injury such as a fracture, etc. But there are also known factors associated with the development of chronic lower back pain, and these include pre-existing psychological conditions, somatization, maladaptive pain coping, functional impairments, the presence of other types of chronic pain, job dissatisfaction and stress, and perhaps disputes over compensation issues. Now, that is not to say that the pain isn't real and that patients are uncomfortable. So you found a poem that attempts to look at this. It's published in the Canadian Family Physician in 2021. It's an electronic version that you have here. It attempts to answer the question, what interventions are effective in managing patients with chronic back pain?
Yeah, this is from a Canadian Family Physician in 2021, and this was a huge study. It was really multiple meta-analyses, and they did a really good job with them methodologically. And what they were looking at was interventions for patients with chronic low back pain, defined as at least 3 months of back pain. So ultimately, they included 63 trials with more than 16,000 participants, all of which included some sort of what we call responder analysis. So basically, they were comparing responders with non-responders who didn't get the treatment. Several drugs didn't report results that way and were excluded, including Tylenol, cannabinoids, muscle relaxants, and antidepressants other than duloxetine. So that's kind of too bad. It would have been nice to see a little bit of whether those are effective, but we still have a lot to talk about. So overall, the quality of the included studies was judged to be mixed. They found 18 exercise studies and an NNT number needed to treat of 7 for meaningful pain relief. They also found the NNT was 6 for sustained pain relief even after the intervention was over. In 4 studies of oral NSAIDs, they were more effective than control with an NNT of 6. 4 studies of duloxetine, so duloxetine was included, I lied to you, found that it was more effective than control with an NNT of 10. Stopping treatment due to adverse effects was more common with duloxetine, number needed to treat to harm of 11. So for every patient that benefited, you had one that quit taking it because they didn't tolerate it. Spinal manipulation, 5 low-quality studies, more effective than control with an NNT of 6. 3 lower-quality studies of topical capsaicin, that was also effective, NNT of 6. Acupuncture, when you only included higher-quality studies that were appropriately masked and controlled, was no better than the control. They did have 6 opioid trials. They found an NNT for pain relief of 16, so that's worse than the other things we've talked about, but also a pretty bad number needed to harm of 5 for discontinuation due to side effects. There were 10 poor quality studies of steroid injections, often not well controlled. People kind of knew what they were getting. There was no difference in pain relief compared with controls, though. So bottom line, interventions that are better than control or comparison in getting at least a 30% reduction in pain are exercise, oral NSAIDs, duloxetine, and opioids, but discontinuation, intolerance of the latter two was common. Exercise was the only thing to have sustained improvement. Lower quality data suggests that spinal manipulation and topical capsaicin are also effective. The inclusion criteria might have missed some important studies, but you know, overall, I think this was a well-done meta-analysis and gives us some, you know, useful things to share with our patients.
And this is great. I mean, this is very useful. I'm going to play the stereotype Californian here for a second. And you had said that cannabinoids were perhaps included, but I could find nothing that really looked at that. That may reflect, again, the fact that there just aren't any good studies on cannabinoids. But again, at least here in California, I've had some success with patients with chronic back pain who say that, particularly around sleep, that the cannabinoids provide them a great amount of relief so that they can fall asleep.
Yeah, you know, this study didn't find any studies of cannabinoids that met their inclusion criteria, or CBD oil, or, you know, full-on marijuana. They didn't find. There are some studies out there, and I think we need to find a poem that that addresses those studies. I think safety is obviously an issue. If you have 25-30% response, that could be very likely a placebo response, at least in large part. And so, you know, and that's okay if it's safe and people want to spend money on it, but it's not okay if it's not safe. So I think we do need to learn more about that. And I think a lot of my patients are using them for sure and asking me about them. And I'm going to have to educate myself a little better on them.
It is funny that we don't mention cannabinoids at all in medical education. We have courses on pain and, you know, pharmacology, and they don't get mentioned. And you know, perhaps part of it, you know, the federal government for years and years and years has not allowed research done by medical schools to be involved with cannabinoids. And in fact, places like UC Davis, where I work, have been threatened by having federal monies for other programs pulled if we use state money to fund cannabinoid research. So it reflects the fact that there's nothing that meets the criteria here, the fact that we just don't have a lot of research. And
I just found a study while you were talking. Not that I wasn't listening. I was listening to every word, but I found a study. I think it's from the same group because it had very similar methods in the Canadian Family Physician. They found 15 RCTs of cannabinoids. And there was a significantly greater likelihood of a 30% pain reduction, that same metric they used. NNT was 11. So anyway, interesting. Now, if they looked at subgroups, the larger and longer randomized trials didn't find benefit. So, you know, some of that may have to do with study quality. But, you know, there is at least some evidence.
Thanks, Mark. We will talk next week.
Okay.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.